Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Extravaganza. We are so delighted that you have chosen to hang out with us noon to 3 Eastern. We're not going to spend 3 hours screaming at you. We like to have a conversation here on this radio network, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. 20 days until the midterm elections and the opportunity for we the people to stop the communist Democrats dead in their tracks. Folks, we've got a great show lined up for you today. Lots of new polling data to get through, some big debates last night, and we want to get your take on the debates. Our special guest, Governor Mike Huckabee, is going to be here. Also, former Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos is going to join us. Congresswoman Mary Miller from Illinois and Megan Basham from The Daily Wire is going to be here. So an action-packed day. But the most important people we ever want to hear from are you, ladies and gentlemen, the audience of the Todd Starnes radio program. And I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you want to call in on the program today. 844-747-8868. Again, that's 844-747-8868. So the big story over at Fox News today is one that I am intrigued by, fascinated by, and disgusted by. No major city in America has had a greater problem with the illegal alien invasion than El Paso, Texas. They are right there on the border, and they have been through holy you-know-what. So the mayor of El Paso was considering, along with the city council, to declare an emergency, a state of emergency in the face of the onslaught of the illegal alien invasion. Folks, we're not talking about a few dozen people on a tour bus coming up to Martha's Vineyard. We're talking about tens of thousands of people. Now, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Mayor Oscar Leeser, who, by the way, is a Democrat. The White House gave him a telephone call, and they said, Mr. Mayor, we understand that you are preparing to declare a state of emergency in El Paso. And he said, yes, that is correct. And then the White House, the Biden White House, the Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen, told this mayor of an American city under siege, they asked him not to do it. They said, Mr. Mayor, we got to ask you. We're coming up on the election. You got to help us out here. We cannot have a major city controlled by the Democrats declaring a state of emergency. Now, I want to read from the Fox News piece here. A declaration has been expected in recent weeks as the city's immigration struggles have become more prominent on the national level. By the way, have you noticed something about Fox News and their reporting of this specific issue? They're not illegals anymore, right? They're called migrants. That's what they're calling them, migrants. The city's immigration struggle. No, it's not the city's immigration struggle. It's the illegal immigration struggle. At least 3 of the 8 El Paso City Council members have already asked Leeser to make an emergency declaration. This week, the Biden administration, which has faced enormous political pressure over the nearly 2-year crisis, announced a combined border operation with Mexico. That operation involves increased checkpoints and more resources to handle the migrant surge. El Paso has launched a new migrant data dashboard to give a glimpse into the extraordinary numbers the border city is seeing as part of the ongoing migrant crisis racking the southwest border. And they go on from there. But according to the data, I just want you to hear these numbers. And you think about this. You people in Gainesville, Georgia. You people in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. You good people in Portland, Maine. I want you to hear this. According to the data, the numbers went from less than 1,700 releases per week into the city, that was during the summer, to over 6,800 just last week. The numbers of illegals in Border Patrol custody has also jumped from fewer than 3,000 to over 4,500. And here's the money nugget. The data shows there are more than 1,000 illegals being released into the community every day. Every day. And the city is providing more than 900 meals a day to hungry illegals. And again, Fox News calls them migrants. They're not migrants, Fox News. They're illegal aliens. But I know they're not allowed to say that over at Fox News anymore, apparently. So what's going on here? Well, it's very clear to me the Biden administration is putting optics ahead of public safety. We're dealing with some very bad criminals. We're dealing with murderers, with robbers, thieves, rapist, you name it, coming across that border. And a lot of these people are straight from the Middle East. So we're also dealing with the possibility of terrorists coming into this country to do us harm, to blow us to kingdom come in the name of the religion of peace. So there's a lot of really bad stuff coming across that border. And the people in El Paso are saying, hey, we got to have some help here. Somebody's got to do something for us. And the Biden administration is saying, no, we're not going to do that, and we're not going to let your local people do that because it would look bad for Democrats going into the midterm elections. That's what's going on here. So all I can tell you, folks, is that elections have consequences, and you got to get out and vote on Election Day. We've got to do what we can do to save these border towns and these communities. And if I were the mayor of El Paso, Texas, I would tell Biden where to stick it in the guacamole. Yes, you heard me, guacamole. That's what I would have done. I don't care if he's a Democrat or not. Oh, by the way, have you heard this story? Biden tried to spell out a website. You got to hear this, cut one.
If you get any questionable calls, please tell us by going to reportfraud, dotftc.gov.
All right, I'm calling this up right now to see where it takes us. Oh, it takes me to a place called Level 3. I don't know what that means, Grace Maker. FTC ID theft affidavit. Jeez, I'm probably on some watch list now.
Yeah, probably. You probably just like got a virus on your computer.
So he didn't know that it's not like D-O-T, it's oh. Dot. It's dot, Mr. President.
Oh,
dot.
Words are hard.
Well, yes, they are. Clearly they are.
What can
you say? Oh, my word. So, folks, look, we're going to take a break here. What is the big concern for you going into the midterm elections? What is your big concern? Is it the invasion of our nation? Is it the economy? What is the big issue facing you and your community as we're going into the midterms? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. During the break, it's a great time to head over to ToddStearns.com. Click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. Folks, we're not moving the needle. We got a light a fire under you. We need your help. Alliance Defending Freedom they've been deluged, swamped with people needing help to fight for religious liberty. These are good, decent people that are losing their jobs. They're losing their livelihoods because they're practicing their faith in the public marketplace. They're defending these states that are standing up for the pro-life movement, and they need our help. Folks, all this month, raising money for Alliance Defending Freedom. Whatever you give, we've got a donor that's going to double it. $100, $200. ToddStearns.com. Click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner and give today. We're all feeling the pain at the pump and at the grocery store, too. The market is plunging, and Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. But even worse, seniors are struggling to survive. It's not time to panic, but it is time to act. My friends at AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, will help you save money on things like cell phone plans, travel, and restaurants. But AMAC does much more than offer senior discounts. Your membership will support their nonprofit AMAC Action, which takes the challenge challenges against our Constitution and a free market straight to Capitol Hill. Joining is easy. Just go to amac.us/starns to start saving today. 2.3 million Americans have already joined AMAC, and you should too. AMAC cares about you and America, so save money and support conservative causes. Go to amac.us/starns. It's only $16 per year, and great news, anyone can join. Go to amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns. I remember when I was at Fox News Channel, and when I got hired there, I was working at the time in Sacramento at a great radio station, KFBK. It is the radio station where Rush Limbaugh, El Rushbo, actually worked and hosted a show, and that's where he launched his national radio program after leaving KFBK and going to WABC in New York City. And had a great time out there. But it was, you know, one of the things I loved about Sacramento, it's sort of a meat and potatoes town. It's not like the glitz and the glamour of the soy milk and tofu crowd down in Beverly Hills. These are good, hardworking folks, a couple of big Air Force bases there at the time. And so they had a very strong military community. And quite frankly, there were a lot of conservatives that lived in that area. So not a lot of pretense. So I moved to Fox News. I moved to New York City. I took a job at Fox News, was there 15 years. And I saw an amazing evolution over my time, my years at Fox News. Now, when Roger Ailes was running Fox, which was for all but two of the years I was there, maybe three, all but three of the years I was there, when Roger Ailes was running the company, he had this edict, and it really, I don't think it was in writing anywhere, but he would not let Fox News staffers enter any of the national journalism competitions. He would not let the Fox News anchors go on the late night TV shows, you know, with Bill Maher or at the time it was Dave Letterman. He just wouldn't do that. He wanted this us versus them mindset, and he enforced that. And I appreciated that, and I respected that. And the whole point of that, I'm not sure a lot of people understood. A lot of my colleagues were very upset with that because there is this inherent need among a lot of conservatives out there to be a part of the high-dollar exclusive cocktail circuit. They want to be loved by the New York Times. They want to be loved by the Washington Post. They want to be able to walk down the red carpet at Fashion Week and the Met Gala. That there's this need for that. So when Roger Ailes was fired from Fox, then all of a sudden the Fox anchors started showing up at all these fancy gatherings. And one of the things that used to drive me nuts, and I don't know if you guys, I'm not going to name names. You could just Google it for yourself. But there were a lot of high-profile, prime-time Fox News hosts who would go out after hours, and they would party and socialize with the very people that were on their programs. For example, some of them would pal around with Al Sharpton. And I never could in my mind understand, I couldn't wrap my mind around the idea that an honest-to-goodness, pro-America conservative would be not only breaking bread with Al Sharpton, but would be supporting Al Sharpton financially. I never could understand that. But you know what? Whatever, you got to sleep at night. You're going to have to answer before your makers, so that's on you. But they would go to all of these big parties. I'm not a big party guy. And Grace knows this. We get all these invites. I'm just an old homebody. I like going home after the show. I like reading. I like doing research. I like going to I'll go out and do the walk over at the park.
A simple man.
A simple man, Grace Baker. Just give me meat and potatoes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all I ask. All that to say, there is still this need among people to be accepted by the New York Times.
I don't get that.
And one, Donald John Trump is topping the list. So this is according to Maggie Haberman. Maggie Haberman, the New York Times reporter, wrote a book. It is a bestseller across all platforms. And President Trump gave her hours and hours and hours of interviews during his time in the Oval Office. And now it's coming back to bite him in the behind. But it gets worse, because as bad as Maggie Haberman is, ladies and gentlemen, I can't think of a more despicable journalist than Bob Woodward. And this news coming from Mediaite, Bob Woodward announced that he is releasing an audiobook. Now, I want you, folks, just hear me on this. Just hear me on this. It's one thing to sit down for an interview and tell the reporter, you can't record me, you have to take notes. Because then, when the book comes out, you can always get up in front of the cameras, and your defense can be, they misquoted me, it's fake news, I never said that. And you might be able to get away with it. But that's not what happened. Bob Woodward is releasing an audio book featuring more than 8 hours of interviews with former President Trump. And guess what? CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. Always there for a comment. CNN got an exclusive listen. New York Times correspondent and CNN analyst Maggie Haberman. Oh, did I mispronounce? My apologies. Analyst. It's Tuesday. CNN analyst Maggie Haberman currently sits atop the publishing world with her controversial but much buzzed about book, Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump and the Breaking of America. But she could soon have stiff competition, according to a new report from CNN's Jamie Dangle, Elizabeth Stewart, and Jeremy, is it Herb or Herb? I'm not sure if the H is silent or not. Shall we call him Herb? Jeremy Herb. The book is called The Trump Tapes. I'm going to read to you because we have not seen this, but CNN has. Trump's take on his relationship with Kim, his admission he did not have a broader strategy behind the threats he made about having much bigger nuclear button, are part of the new audio that Woodward is releasing. The book contains the 20 interviews Woodward conducted with Trump from 2016 through 2020. The interviews offer unvarnished insights into the former president's worldview and are the most extensive recordings of Trump speaking about his presidency, including explaining his rationale for meeting Kim, his relationship with Russian President Vladimir Putin, and Trump's detailed views of the U.S. nuclear arsenal. The audio also shows how Trump decided to share with Woodward the letters Kim wrote to him, and so on and so forth. The book is culled from interviews dating back to 2016 and as recently as 2020. So here's my question, folks. And again, Donald Trump can sit down and do an interview with whoever he wants to. But do you think it was a good idea for President Trump to bring CNN political analyst Maggie Haberman into the White House Oval Office? Do you think that was a good idea? Do you think it was a good idea for Donald Trump to allow Bob Woodward into the Oval Office for hours and hours of interviews? I mean, what did he really think was going to, what good did the president think was going to come out of that? But I say this because he's not the only one. I mean, every conservative political lawmaker wants to try and make nice with the New York Times, and you cannot do that. These are very bad people. The New York Times reporters hate you. They hate conservatives. They hate our values. They hate our country. And they hate you. So you think somebody who hates you is going to make you look nice in the New York Times? No, of course not. That's why we don't talk to them. Because nothing good ever comes from talking to the New York Times. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. And I really do wish these Republican politicians of all sorts would step back and realize that the New York Times is not their friend, will never be their friend. They want to destroy you, conservatives. They want to make you look bad. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. Should Trump have done those interviews? We'll be right back, America. We'll be right back. Illegal drug trafficking has turned our southern border into a war zone. It's a war that no one wants to talk about. That's why I urge you to see Border Battle, the new six-part limited documentary series from Turning Point USA. It exposes the sheer evil and inhumanity of drug cartels and the illegal drug trade. Fentanyl has killed tens of thousands of Americans. It's so dangerous, just 3 grains of fentanyl can kill you. Border Battle reveals how illegal immigration, human trafficking, and America's drug crisis has only been made worse by decades of government neglect. Today's drug cartels are militarized with sophisticated weapons, tanks, and drones that drop explosives on their drug competitors right on our southern border. We've never seen this before in the history of our country. Hear directly from Drug and Border Patrol agents about the horrific conditions along the border and what life is really like on the front lines. Watch Border Battle now. Download the full 6-part documentary series at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So good to have you with us. So, big debate last night in Georgia. Gubernatorial race, Brian Kemp. And, man, the polling numbers. Kemp is really doing a number on Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams called out because of her decision not to concede the last gubernatorial election. She says the election was stolen, but she says she never did that. Cut number 9, please. Stacey Abrams.
And Ms. Abrams, in 2018, you didn't concede defeat to Governor Kemp, and you talked to systemic problems with the state's election system. This election, do you commit to accept the outcome of the vote, regardless of what it shows? And do you stand by your use of words like rigged 4 years ago to describe the state's election system?
In 2018, I began my speech on November 16th acknowledging that Governor Kemp had won the election.
Well, that's simply not true. It is fiction, which she should be well-versed in, seeing how she's a romance novelist. Let's go back and let's listen to what Ms. Abrams had to say back in 2018, cut number 8.
I do have one very affirmative statement to make. We won.
I didn't lose. I got the votes. But we won't know exactly how many because of how they cheated.
I did win my election. I just didn't get to have the job.
We were robbed of an election.
She's using the word rigged, using the word steal. Do you think it's dangerous going into 2020?
I don't, because we can actually back it up. And so in response to what I believe was a stolen election, and I'm not saying they stole it from me, they stole it from the voters of Georgia.
In fact, someone outside asked if I'm ever going to concede. The answer is no.
This is not a speech of concession. Because concession means to acknowledge an action is right, true, or proper. And I will not concede because the erosion of our democracy is not right.
People are going to make you mad. They're going to steal your election.
It was not a free and fair election. I think the election was stolen from the people of Georgia.
I believe it was stolen from the voters.
Thousands of Georgians had their voices stolen because they were not able to cast ballots. And they cannot be guaranteed that their votes will be counted in 2020 if we don't do this right.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is Stacey Abrams. So she lied. She lied last night. And these reporters, these debate moderators, they just let them get away with it. They just let them get away with the lies. By the way, here's Brian Kemp, who did a terrific job in the debate. I'm very impressed with the governor and how he's been handling himself in the election cycle. Cut 2.
When I ran for governor in 2018, I promised to put hardworking Georgians first ahead of the status quo and the politically correct. I said shortly after being sworn in, I would work hard as your governor every single day for all Georgians, whether you voted for me or not. I'm so optimistic about the future of our state, the lowest unemployment rate in the history of the state, the most people working, and economic opportunity in all parts of our state, no matter your zip code or neighborhood. Stacey Abrams said Georgia's the worst state in the country to live. Well, Marty, the girls and I disagree. We think Georgia's the greatest state in the country to live, work, and raise our children, and that's why I'm asking for your vote and support to keep it that way.
All right, there you go. And I know we have a lot of listeners in Georgia, and I'd be very curious to know how the election's going. Have you guys gotten the ballot issues taken care of? You know, your Secretary of State was supposed to be doing that. And if, in fact, that's the case, it could be a very good night for not only Brian Kemp, but also for Herschel Walker, who, by the way, Herschel Walker won the debate a few days ago. There were two debates. He showed up for one. He did not show up for the other. And I think he won both. I really do. Herschel Walker asked about Joe Biden, cut number three.
Can you name one thing that President Biden has done that you support?
One thing that he's done that I support. He eat a lot of ice cream.
Is there anything policy-wise?
Policy-wise that he's done that I support.
He eat a lot of ice cream. He ate a lot of ice cream. Well, it's, you know, I mean, you got to like Herschel Walker. He's the unifier. He's the uniter. You know, and he thought about it. He said, there's got to be something that I can find common ground on with Joseph Robinette Biden. And it's not corn pop. It's not, it's not corn pop anymore. It's Senor Corn Pop because he's from Puerto Rico. It wasn't corn pop. It wasn't sitting poolside and letting children fondle your leg hairs. It's not sniffing the hair of innocent children at campaign events. So it turned out to be ice cream. So, you know, it's hard, but at least Herschel Walker is going out there and he's trying to find some common ground with Joe Biden. I wonder what flavor of ice cream. I'm a vanilla guy myself, Grace Bear. I know that shocks a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm more of a chocolate gal.
You're saying Todd Starnes is racist. No, I just like vanilla ice cream.
Listen, everybody can agree on ice cream. I don't think I've ever met someone who doesn't like ice cream.
I do like a little bit of the chocolate sauce on the top.
Like, do you like it hot?
Oh, I like it hot. I like it hot. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Cherry on top?
I'm good.
Okay.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Grace.
I tried.
Yes, you did. So anyway, there you go. That's the latest from the state of Georgia, where the polling data looks very good for both Herschel Walker and Brian Kemp. Raphael Warnock, man, he is coming under fire, especially over this eviction stuff. You know, the church has been evicting a lot of people from this apartment building they own. It doesn't sound like very Christ-like behavior. Then again, the pastor of the church supports the killing of unborn babies. Oh, I got to talk about our good buddy Mike Lindell. No, this is not a commercial. There's an honest to goodness story about poor Mike Lindell. He was in Humboldt County, California. That's over in Northern California. Now, here's what you need to understand. Northern California, outside of the San Francisco Bay Area, it's mostly conservative. So Mike Lindell was in Northern California, and I guess he had a hankering for a burrito or something, a chili relleno, I don't know. So we went to a Mexican joint, Tres Chiles Picosos. It stands for three hot peppers. That's what that means. So anyway, he goes in there, and a couple of the staff members go, holy cow, it's the MyPillow guy. And they don't have a lot of celebrities. You know, when you're at a restaurant and you see a celebrity come in and you go over and you say hello. And so the bartender and a waitress go over and say, Mike Lindell, we love you, MyPillow guy. And so they ask for a photograph. Can we pose for a photograph? And they said, yeah, sure, no problem. So they did. The restaurant's owner, Michelle Hill, now I would not have taken her for the owner of a Mexican restaurant, but okay, that's good. Michelle Hill told San Francisco Gate, which is a newspaper, that the two employees recognize Lindell because they use the MyPillow products. They had no idea that the guy was doing the national politics. So this was not about politics, it was about pillows. Mrs. Hill said she allowed a manager to post a photo on the restaurant's Facebook page because her staff was excited that a celebrity like Mike Lindell had visited. So it wasn't meant to be a political statement. It was just Mike Pillow, the MyPillow guy, came in, got some tacos, posed for a picture. She says, quote, I don't get into politics. We knew nothing about him apart from he's the MyPillow guy. My staff buys his pillows, his sheets, his socks. They were just excited to see someone famous. I get that. But some people around town took great offense at the visit from Mike Lindell, and they're demanding that the restaurant take down the photo. They're saying that this man is a bad man and the restaurant had no business serving food to a pro-Trump supporter. One Facebook user wrote, it's not about politics. It's about crime and sedition. You don't just post photos with other tourists, so why start with him? Well, I'll tell you why, you moron. Because he's a celebrity. Mrs. Hill said she only learned more about Lindell after researching him online. She said, and this is the best part of the story, folks. Mrs. Hill said, even if she had known about Mike Lindell's post-election conduct, she still would have allowed the manager to post the photo. Lindell is famous, she said, and she would post a photo of her staff with any celebrity who visited the restaurant, regardless of their ideological leanings. She said, if Joe Biden or Donald Trump or Martha Stewart or George Clooney had come in, they would have done the same thing. You know what we ought to do, Grace? We ought to go and get our picture made.
Let's do it.
I love it.
To me.
Hill said the restaurant's gotten threatening phone calls. People are enraged. Death threats.
Wait, and this all started with the pillow guy and hot sauce.
That's it. And tacos. I don't know. I don't know what he ordered. I sent him a text message. I'm like,
quesadilla?
I'm like, Mike, what did you order? What did you order at the Mexican restaurant?
And how spicy are we talking?
That's a good question. Anyway, in spite of all of this, and now they're planning to boycott Tres Chiles Picosos. They're threatening to boycott the restaurant unless they take down the photo. And Mrs. Hill said, the photo ain't coming down. And I say, you go, girl, or senora. You go, senorita. That's what I say. Folks, this is how you deal with the cancel culture. You just shove it right back in their face. That's all. You're very nice and polite about it, but just shove it right back in their face. That's what I would recommend. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. May I tell you about MyPillow.com/Starnes, because there really are some nice deals. Oh, you're going to find all sorts of great stuff, including a one-time free gift when you order today. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes, and you will see all sorts of great MyPillow products available for you. MyPillow Giza Dream Bed Sheets, as low as $39.98. Also, the Percale Sheet Sets, as low as $29.98. Got to use my promo code Starnes. MyPillow.com/Starnes.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You feeling good about the elections coming up? Got any concerns, any worries, any fears? Well, give me a call, and I will do my best to help you work through those issues. Live on the radio, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up a little bit later on, Betsy DeVos is going to be here, Secretary of Education during the Trump years. And also our good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee, is going to weigh in on some of President Biden's most recent gaffes. In the meantime, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Anna in Georgia wants to talk about MyPillow. Hey, Anna, what's going on?
I was going to tell you, I have two pillows, my pillows, and I've got three sets of towels. I've got a pair of bedroom shoes, and I love every bit of them. And Mike Lindell is a good Christian, and these socialist Democrats are going to split hell wide open. Thank you.
You know, Hannah, you're very welcome. I will say this about Mike Lindell. I was talking to our good friend Franklin Graham a few days ago, and Franklin was telling me that Lindell is down in Florida and was giving away literally thousands, hand-delivering thousands of MyPillows and the bed sheets and things of that nature to survivors mm-hmm. of the hurricane. What a good and decent man he is.
He is. He's a Christian man. He gave his heart to God, and these Democrats, these other people, better get on their knees.
I like the way you think. And Anna, I will just say this. I think this is somewhere in the New Testament, but there are no MyPillow products in the Lake of Fire. So...
Oh, no.
If
no.
you want a good He's night's a rest,
man.
Yeah. If you want a good night's rest, you better go to heaven, because that's the only place you're going to get a good MyPillow.
That's right. All with right. God. Thank
that's
you
it.
So
All
much
right, Anna.
For the job you do.
Well, Thank you're you. Kind to say that. Thank you, Anna. All right. There we go. Let's go to the great state of Maine, WLOB, the Big Lobster. Will, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
I'm well. Thank you.
Nice to be on the show. You said a little while ago, you said, you know, if you have any concerns about the upcoming election, to give a call. And myself, like probably 99% of the listeners, are concerned because the inconsistencies, we'll call it that, in the 2020 election have never been addressed. And my opinion, there was a lot of cheating that went on with media, social media, in a coordinated effort. And, you know, to me, there's a lot of proof when you turn on the news and everybody's reading from the same script. That tells me there's a coordinated effort. And it reminds me of how the media is run in Russia. And so, you know, I'm going to vote because an American, I'm a patriot. I believe in our democracy, but I just don't see how we're going to stop the cheating in the upcoming election.
Will,
maybe you can shed some light on that.
I'm happy to do that. And one of the things that makes this different, we're dealing with localized elections, so we're not dealing with a national presidential election here. So if, in fact, you know, a group wanted to try and steal a race, that would be very difficult to do because they would have to have boots on the ground or they would have to have access to computers all over the place. And I don't think they're going to be able to do that. But the other issue here is, I mean, the voter fraud issues, some states have addressed them. Whether or not it worked, well, we don't know yet. I will say this. If we go into Election Day and it turns out that the Democrats are going to be able to hold on to the House and the Senate, I do believe that would be voter fraud. And I think at that point, you would have conservatives rising up and marching in the streets. Again, not doing violence, but demanding that something be done. Because you're right. I mean, overall, from a federal level, they haven't done squat. But on the state level, there have been some states controlled by Republicans who are making efforts to fix, you know, the loopholes.
That would be wonderful. I mean, in the state of Maine, they have ranked choice voting. And I don't know how much you know about it. And
it's
I don't
rigged.
Know if the laws
that is rigged. Ranked choice voting is rigged for the Democrats. It always is, because you're going to have some lunatic Republican, some fringe Republican stealing away votes, and it always screws up. That's what just happened in Alaska, by the way, Will. And the other part of this is that Republicans have to start being smart with their candidates. You got to pick the right people. And I think we're going to be okay. I really do. I think we're going to be okay this election cycle. But the presidential election, I don't know, Will. I that's my God's honest truth answer. I don't know. I wish I did. All right, Will, got to run. We're getting late for a break here. Appreciate the call. I really do wish I could say without beyond a shadow of a doubt that we fixed all of the election problems. I wish I could say that, but I cannot say that. But what I do know is this, if you don't go out and vote, that's on you. I mean, really, that's on you. So we do have a responsibility to get out and vote. You conservatives out there, you got a responsibility to go and volunteer to be a poll watcher. Why let all the Democrats take those jobs? You get out there, you volunteer your time. Well, I don't have time, Todd. I got a job. And then I got to go down to the country club, got to play golf, got to take the kids to soccer practice and ballet. No, no, no. You got to put some priorities in your life. And you know what? Every, 4 years, every 2 years, you can take a day and you can go and volunteer and watch and make sure these Democrats, these godless heathen Democrats, don't steal another election from us. That's all I'm saying. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. Hey, ToddStearns.com is our website. You get over there and give a few dollars to Alliance Defending Freedom. They could use your help. We'll be right back. Thanks to you great Americans, MyPillow is an amazing company. And Mike Lindell has an amazing offer for my listeners on his standard MyPillows. You get a standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, only $19.98. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products like MyPillow towels, mattress toppers, My slippers, so much more. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty so you know it's going to last, and a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. It's time to start getting the quality sleep we not only want but need. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 1-800-839-8506.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. We are now 20 days away from the midterm elections, an opportunity for we the people to step up and undo some really, really bad stuff that's happening in our country. Folks, hope you're doing well. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. One of the things that that I truly believe that came out of the China virus pandemic, one of the great things that came out of the pandemic was the awakening of moms and dads across America, coming to the understanding of what was really happening inside those public school, those taxpayer-funded classrooms. And now many parents across the nation are standing up, and they're fighting back, and they're demanding change. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're honored to have with us the former Secretary of Education under President Trump, Betsy DeVos. Betsy, good to have you with us today.
Well, thanks, Todd. It's great to be with you.
You know, I looking back over the past couple of years and to see moms and dads finally standing up and saying enough is enough, moms and dads getting involved and reengaging in the education system, how important is that where we are right now in American history?
Well, Todd, it really is a pivotal moment, and you're so right. The last couple of years, parents have had a front row seat to see what their kids have been learning or in many cases not learning, and they've been alarmed and often whether it's material that is totally inappropriate for young children or whether it is curriculum that is so non-robust and so lightweight. Parents aren't happy for a variety of reasons, and rightfully so. And we've seen them find their voices, starting last fall with the governor's race in Virginia, where it was a very clear delineation between Glenn Youngkin standing up for parents and for kids and Terry McAuliffe, who was totally aligned with the system, the status quo, headed by the teachers union and all of their allies. So it's a really important moment to move to education freedom, where families will actually be able to control and direct how and where their kids learn.
And we saw the same thing happening in Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis actually got involved in some of these school board races. You have groups like Moms for Liberty popping up, and you saw some of the largest school districts in the state and one of the largest in America actually win conservative leadership on the school boards.
Yes, and that's so important. It's great to see people getting engaged in school board races where for many years it was hard to even figure out when school board elections took place. But importantly also, we're seeing many state legislatures now actually pass legislation that is going to free families and empower families with the resources that are already spent on their children to take it to a place that's going to fit their values and meet their children's needs. Arizona has taken a giant leap in this direction just a couple of months ago by passing a statewide universal education savings account program. So every family in the state of Arizona, if they don't like the school that their child is assigned to, or if that school's not working for that child, they can take 90% of what the state spends on that him or her, and they can go and buy their children's education wherever it's going to work. So we're going to see so much more creativity, so many more opportunities, and the things like the sort of one-room schoolhouse for the 21st century that we saw started out of necessity during the COVID lockdowns, we're going to see many more of those continue to grow and proliferate because it's going to be the right setting for lots of kids. Families have discovered this, and more want to have that opportunity.
Betsy, I'm curious, from your time as Secretary of Education to where we are now, what do you think the greatest threat is that we need to be concerned with when it comes to public schools, public education?
Well, there are many threats that I have been aware of for the more than 3.5 decades I've been involved in the fight for families and kids. It has been this one-size-fits-all industrial model, top-down, controlled monopoly that kids across America have been forced to be part of. Now, for many kids, their school works for them, and they're doing just fine. There's many other kids for whom their schools aren't working, and they haven't been working for many years before COVID. You just look at the results, the academic results from the years leading up to, the many years leading up to. When we look at ourselves, the United States, as compared to the rest of the world, we are failing on multiple fronts. In terms of reading, we're 13th in the world before COVID. In terms of science, we are 18th, and math, we're 37th. And these were all rankings before COVID hit. And the U.S. kept schools closed far longer than almost every other country in the world. And our kids have suffered harm as a result.
I am personally concerned about critical race theory, these radical sex and gender revolutionaries, as I call them. There's a report out of Montgomery County, Maryland. 45% of students now identify as non-binary. I mean, it's impossible, and it's got to be evidence of flat-out brainwashing and indoctrination in the classroom.
Absolutely. And all of these things were being seeded well before the shutdowns and the lockdowns. And now, thankfully, parents have had a front row seat, and they've seen what's going on, and they're not happy in many cases, and rightfully so. So this is the prime time to remind legislators that parents are the ones that are the kids' first educators, and they need to have the ability to decide where their child learns and, frankly, what values their children are being taught. I mean, anybody who says that K-12 education is being delivered value-free has not actually paid attention to what's going on. Families are rightfully upset, and now is the time to change policy to support families and kids and the ability to make the decision for your children's education and to expect the best for your children.
Betsy DeVos on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, folks. Betsy, I'm curious. I've been hearing you talking about wanting to abolish the U.S. Department of Education. Why do you want to do that?
Well, the Department of Education was founded in 1979 as a political payoff by Jimmy Carter to the teachers' unions, who that year endorsed, in 76, endorsed a presidential candidate, Jimmy Carter, for the first time ever. It was a payoff to them, and since then, it was founded with the express purpose of closing achievement gaps between the top performers and the lowest performers. Now, over $1 trillion later, at the federal level alone, with that express mission in mind, not only has the achievement gap not closed or narrowed in any case, it's actually widened in many cases. So the department has been a failure in its mission, and taxpayers have been on the hook for the department's role in that. I believe it's time to return control, certainly to the states, and ideally directly to the family, to be able to make the best choices and demand the best for their kids, and break out of the one-size-fits-all monopolistic approach to how kids learn. We know that this mode of K-12 education was originally designed as a factory model to have all children go in, learn the same things, and basically come out the other end thinking the same way, doing the same things, prepared for the same things. The world is very different today than it was 175 years ago when Horace Mann founded it. And it's time for, again, for families to take back control, and for creativity and American entrepreneurship and ingenuity to be introduced into the K-12 learning experience and models. And when that happens, we're going to see so many more learning environments that are going to ignite the innate curiosities and the innate talents of every child in our country.
Betsy, I was a big fan of yours during the Trump administration. And, of course, I went to a Christian school where the DeVos family donated lots of money, a Lee University in Tennessee. So I've known about you for a long time, and I was curious, though, and I'm with you on abolishing the Department of Education. Why didn't you do that or at least start that process while you were there as Secretary of Education? Was there something that prevented that from happening?
Well, actually, Todd, two of the budgets that I presented would have started in that direction. We proposed to block grant all of the funds that were not express purposes elsewhere. Block grant all the discretionary funds in the department back to the states for them to decide and control where the highest and best use was. I presented those budgets to Congress. Unfortunately, we didn't have too many members of Congress that wanted to have that conversation. I guarantee the conversation would be different today based on our experience the last couple of years. And that's why I believe it is time for those who've talked about it to actually put a plan behind it and advocate for it. I think there is a window of possibility there, and I encourage our Republican lawmakers to embrace it and pursue it.
I'm with you. Well, Betsy, thank you for serving our great nation. You've done a wonderful job, and I'm backing this effort 1,000%. Let's return control of the schools back to the local communities. We really appreciate your time today, and we'd love to get you back one of these days.
Sounds good, Todd. Look forward to it. Thanks so much.
All right. Betsy DeVos, everybody, former Secretary of Education. And I do. I mean, you've heard me say this. And again, I know there are a lot of talk hosts, and they want to have somebody, you know, on like Betsy DeVos. And maybe they've been saying the same thing. But when they come on, they won't ask the tough questions. But we like to ask the tough questions here on this radio program. And I do think that when she was named Secretary of Education, her only priority would and should have been to eliminate her job and to abolish the Department of Education. And let's hope that happens during the next Trump administration. Ladies and gentlemen, would you like to see the Department of Education destroyed, abolished? Would you like control of your schools back at the local level? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. All right, I just need to warn you, if you're eating a ham sandwich, or if you are a liberal today and you're eating some sort of, I don't know, raw fish product, just set it aside for just a moment, because we don't want you to choke on anything. President Biden is delivering a speech. Oh, my God. There are so many sound bites coming out of this, and we're going to play about three of them in a second. But, Grace, there is one scene now where President Biden is rubbing a girl's face. He grabs her hand and doesn't let go for a solid minute.
I'm watching it right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like that's an old person thing, like where they grab the hand and they just keep holding it.
Is that true?
I think so. But when I say old, I mean like...
No, he's still holding the woman's hand.
Oh, I'm still watching it as we're talking.
He's shaking other people's hands.
Do you see some of these women's faces? They're like,
She's like, oh, my God, he's holding my hand.
Look at her. She's like, I don't know about this.
What do I do here? I want to get tased by the Secret Service.
I know.
Mr. President, I have my
hand. Still holding, as we're talking, I'm watching this in real time, still holding the hand.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he grabs another hand and is still holding her hand.
Does he know that he's still holding this woman's hand?
That's what I'm saying. It's an old
person. All right, we're posting this on our social. We got to post this on ToddStearns.com. So while we're doing that, so Grace, let's get that ready, and we're going to post the video so people can see it for themselves on ToddStearns.com. But Kyle, I want us to go through and play some audio here. There are three clips. There may be more, but we're going to play these three, not one after the other. I'll offer some commentary. Clearly, Biden is off his meds. Cut number one.
We are. We are the United States of America, and there's nothing beyond our capacity. So vote, vote, vote. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay, so that's not it. That's not it. That's all right. Stop, stop, stop. All right, so let's play the three audio clips I just asked for.
If you get any questionable calls, please tell us by going to report fraud, dotftc.gov.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll regroup after the bottom of the hour. We've got three cuts that I believe we've got from this gathering here. Grace, turn your microphone on so we can figure this out here. We're going to do this on the air. All right, so we've got three sound bites here from the speech that Biden just gave.
Yes, we do.
Okay, can we get those?
Yes.
Sir. All right, let's get those, and we'll get those after the bottom
Sounds
of the hour
great.
News. Why don't we do that? All right, thank you very much. Clearly, Joe Biden is off his meds. I've never seen anything like this. Nothing at all. But he's going around at one point, and I'm just going to read. I'll just read these sound bites for you. Biden says, "The right that I pushed hard, and I finally got changed to marry couples and the privacy of their bedroom." I don't know what that means. Biden says again, and I want to quote, "The right that I pushed hard and I finally got changed to marry couples in the privacy of their bedrooms." How bizarre. And again, this whole thing about touching the woman, and this is now going viral on social media, and we're going to get this up on our website, ToddStearns.com. But he touches her cheek, and then he fake punches her.
It's very confusing.
He hits her with a fist.
Yes.
But not very hard. It's not like he...
Like a little tap.
Yeah, it was a love tap, I guess.
Well, we just had a couple days ago with Biden, you know, sniffing the girl's hair again, basically. I mean, he's like in her ear, giving her unsolicited dating advice, saying, "Well, no serious guys till you're 30. And the girl's just looking at him like, "Are you crazy?" So again, we're just saying back to back to back to back to back. Biden just honestly creeping these poor teenage girls out.
Normally this happens, you know, in multiple speeches. Very few times have we seen this much happen
in one speech.
But I think we're starting
to see more and more gaffes close together, don't you think? Because it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
It is getting worse. It's getting very, it's pretty bad. All that to say, men, if you have a wife, if you have daughters, I would keep them away from Joe Biden. I just, if Biden's coming to town, take your wife, take your daughters, hide them out of town somewhere.
Forget about Halloween. This is the scariest thing.
Unbelievable. All right, coming up, we're going to ask Governor Mike Huckabee about all of this. We already had a list of Biden gaffes to go through, so we'll go through all the brand new ones here coming up. Also, Congresswoman Mary Miller on the way, and Megan Basham from the Daily Wire. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee, joins us. Governor, hope you're doing well today.
Yes, sir. I am doing quite well. Good to talk to you, Todd.
Governor, just a few moments ago, we had some bizarre Biden gaffes, and I want to play through these, and it's pretty remarkable. I will do all three, and just back to back to back, Kyle, and then we'll let the governor react.
The right that I pushed hard and it finally got changed, the married couples in the privacy of their bedroom, I'm thinking about the Dobbs decision. Imagine, well, I'll get to that in a second. Court's substantive due process precedents, including Griswold, relating to the whole idea of contraception, Lawrence and Oglesby. We are the United States of America, and there's nothing beyond our capacity. So vote, vote, vote. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you. I'm sorry.
He's sorry.
I was apologizing for my back. My mother would be very angry. I was talking with people with my back to them.
Governor?
Yeah, because I wonder how many people get married in the privacy of their bedroom. That's kind of an unusual wedding. In the course of my life, I've actually performed over 400 weddings. I never remember being asked to perform one in the privacy of someone's bedroom. That's a new one. And then the Griswold decision. I think he's watched too many Clark Griswold movies in the Vacation series, and maybe this was Vacation, National Lampoon's Vacation goes to Washington, D.C. in the White House. Honestly, between he and John Fetterman, it's just truly unbelievable to watch people who are running for very high offices and hold high offices and yet can't get a sentence through without completely butchering it up. It's just amazing.
Simply, it is what it is. And Governor, we're posting some video during the handshaking. There's a young lady, and he rubs her face, and then kind of gives her a fake punch with his other hand, and then holds onto her hand for a solid 60 seconds as he's visiting with other people. And the poor young lady, she was like, "Oh, what do I do now? What's the protocol here?"
And all of this, frankly, would be different if he was leading the country to record low gas prices and an extraordinary economy in which everybody sits at the kitchen table at night and says, "Wow, Dad, we can afford steak? That's great. And oh, aren't we excited? We're going to get to take a vacation to the Grand Canyon this year rather than just going across the state to see Grandma." I mean, it'd be different. But this is a guy, we could forgive him for the gas if he were leading the country in a very effective way. And we wouldn't probably care. But here's the issue. His gaffes are symptomatic of the leadership of his presidency. Our economy is in tatters. 78% of the country say we're going the wrong direction. I wonder about the other 22%. Who in the heck are they? You look at how we have no longer been the nation respected on the international stage. He goes and begs the Saudis to please give us some more oil. They say no. He says, well, would you please maybe not do anything drastic until after the election? Help me out here. Can you help a brother? And they tell him, no, go pound sand, and we've got plenty of sand if you'd like to pound it. That's what's really tragic, is that America has an opportunity in the midterm elections to make a big change, and we'd better take advantage of it.
Yeah, and the polling data, you know, as much as you can believe that, certainly looks good for Republicans right now, Governor. I think there's a lot of momentum. Somebody shared some pictures of some rallies for Katie Hobbs and Carrie Lake, and maybe just a handful of people at the Hobbs rally and standing room only for Carrie Lake. Hard to read, you know, what we should read into that, but it's looking pretty good right now for Republicans.
I think it really does. By the way, you mentioned Carrie Lake. She's been one of the most impressive candidates I've seen this cycle. I didn't know much about her until really the primary was over, quite frankly. But when I hear her speak, she speaks not only with clarity but with passion. And she's bold, and she pushes back on the stupid stuff that the press try to throw to her, because she was a news anchor and she understands the whole game that they play. And I just think she may be one of the rising stars of our party. I'm just thrilled with her. And you see other people. J.D. Vance just took Tim Ryan apart. I mean, if there was a woodshed in Ohio, Tim Ryan is still in it trying to get over the smarts that he got from the J.D. Vance spanking after their debates. So we're seeing, I think, some significant things happen across the country. I'm just hoping that across America, in places where Republicans have never won, like the New York governor's race, where Lisa Zeldin is in striking distance of Kathy Hochul, that the people will say, you know what, these Democrats have really boogered up the thing, and let's give the Republicans a chance. And then, quite frankly, if the Republicans don't come through, okay, fire them in 2 years, but give them a shot, because it couldn't make things worse.
Well, it's a good point. As a matter of fact, we actually have some audio from that J.D. Vance debate last night, cut number five.
Hold on, J.D. Stop.
No, this is disgusting.
I'd like to get
here's exactly what happens when the media and people like Tim Ryan accuse me of engaging the great replacement theory.
I'll tell you exactly what
happens, Tim. What happens is that my own children, my biracial children, get attacked by scumbags online and in person because you are so desperate for political power that you'll accuse me, the father of three beautiful biracial babies, of engaging in racism. We are sick of it. You can believe in a border without being a racist. You can believe in the country without being a racist. And this just shows how desperate this guy is for political power. I know you've been in office for 20 years, Tim, and I know it's a sweet gig, but you're so desperate not to have a real job that you'll slander me and slander my family. It's disgraceful.
And, Governor, that's how you do it. That's how you fight back.
Right, and I was so proud of him. Even the first debate, the way he fought back on Tim Ryan's attempt to make him look like an extremist on the abortion issue. I've been saying this entire cycle, Republicans need to quit playing defense. They need to grab the ball and run for the end zone and take it right back to the Democrats. And I think some of them are realizing that they're trying to make abortion the big issue, makes them look stupid, because here's what they will not answer. They will not say if there's any limitations. So there's no American with a brain working that honestly thinks that you should abort a baby right up until the moment of birth. But you can't get a Democrat to agree to that because they don't want to offend the far radical crazy left. So what you end up with is people who believe that life matters, and those who believe that you could shred the body of a baby inside her mother's womb 13 minutes before the baby was coming out of that womb.
Governor Mike Huckabee on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line this afternoon. Governor, big show coming up this weekend. What you got on the program?
Tulsi Gabbard is going to be with us in studio. We're very excited about that. She's making a lot of waves. In fact, she's been out campaigning for Carrie Lake this week in Arizona. And it'll be fun to talk to her about why she left the Democrat Party. Matt Schlapp will be with us. And then we've got a wonderful country music artist, Clint Black. His wife, Lisa Hartman, will be with us this weekend on the music portion. I think it's going to be a pretty fun show.
It's going to be a great show. And if people can actually, there's an audience, so you can actually get tickets to go and watch the show. Is that right?
Absolutely. They can get them at Huckabee.tv. We may not have any this weekend. I don't know. It may be already full, but go online and book tickets. It's the only thing that the tickets are free, but you do have to get them reserved. It's about the only thing in Nashville that's free, so it's worth coming.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right. Well, Governor, always good talking to you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. Take care.
Governor Mike Huckabee and the big show this weekend on TBN, and they filmed that in the old Twitty City Studios, now owned by TBN up in Hendersonville, Tennessee. So if you're in the Nashville area or you're just driving through, bring the wife and the kids and the family. It's a fun show. As I was on there with Wynonna Judd, and that was quite the show. She showed up on stage without any shoes on. So selling, I don't know, what do you call it, the medical marijuana stuff? It was pretty entertaining, actually. Interesting story up on Fox. This just posted a little while ago. It turns out that Jill Biden was upset over Joe Biden, her husband's last solo press conference. She was upset that nobody in the White House tried to stop him from holding the press conference. The New York Times reported on Sunday that following the president's solo press conference in January, where he did not follow then-Press Secretary Jen Psaki's cue to wrap it up, the First Lady tore into the White House, into top White House officials, demanding to know why no one intervened. Well, folks, I mean, you just heard it for yourself just a few moments ago. This is unedited, unscripted garbling by the President of the United States, the leader of the free world. The man clearly is not in control. He's not in charge of anything. And then you have Jill Biden out there, who I suspect is running the White House with the help of Susan Rice and Barack Obama, lashing out at the White House communications office for doing their job. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, all this week we have been raising money for, or really all this month we've been raising money for our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. Now, let me take a moment or two to remind you about what's going on with ADF, the world's largest nonprofit legal organization committed to protecting religious freedom. And they've already won 14 cases at the Supreme Court. But new academic outrages and challenges to our religious freedoms are rising every day, and we need your support at ToddStearns.com. Just click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner to make a tax-deductible gift of $100 or a donation in any amount. Tyson Langhofer is head of ADF's Academic Freedom Project. He says he previously spent 16 years in a top legal firm.
But about 7 years ago, I joined ADF because, you know, I really want my kids to understand and realize the same freedoms that I have. These are eroding over time. And I don't want that. I don't want my kids to experience a less free society than what I did. And so, you know, I joined ADF and I love being able to stand up, not just for their rights, but for everybody's rights. When they get a victory, it's a victory for everybody.
So will you do what Tyson Langhofer did? Will you stand up for academic freedom and religious rights of your children or grandchildren? All you have to do is go to ToddStearns.com and make a gift to Alliance Defending Freedom. Right now, a generous donor will match your gift 100%, so you're literally doubling your support. Or if you prefer to call in with your gift, you can do that, 855-417-6556. That's 855-417-6556 to stand with Alliance Defending Freedom. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So, Clark Griswold, I'm still trying to understand this. All right. So, Jill Biden, very upset. She doesn't want her husband answering any questions from the media. So, she's clearly clearly in on all of this, and I think we've all suspected it. Jill Biden, what is it? He was 30, she was 12. So there's a pretty big age gap there between those two. So she is, quite frankly, very power hungry, and she loves this. She loves the gig. She wants to be Dr. Mrs. First Lady. That's what this is all about for her. It doesn't matter that her husband is suffering from senility or dementia, whatever kind of mental illness he might have. That doesn't matter. She wants the gig, and she's probably pushing him to run for another term in office. Could you imagine the debate between him and Donald Trump? I mean, geez, aloo, America. Meanwhile, you have this item from the world of the non-binary transgenders, cut number 10.
And here's what I've learned so far. 6, 7, 8. Women are awesome, but can also be cruel. I'm doing my best, and boys, they kind of drool. My hormones are wild, and my boobs kind of sore. It's only day 200. We have so much more to experience together. We're just getting started. Thank you for being my friend. You're open-hearted. I don't feel so alone. No more shame and carefree. Being a girl is awesome. Would you agree? Woohoo! Woohoo! Love ya.
We're doomed.
We have a significant mental health crisis in America right now.
Literally, I hear that, and he said, "What, day 200 of being a girl?" I was like, "What day am I on?" Like. I didn't know we had like a counter for that.
But do you? You don't do that. You don't dance and sing and sing.
I mean,
those
I do
things,
dance sometimes,
but not like
and sometimes
that.
Sometimes I sing, but no, I've never posted a video of myself singing.
That makes no sense to me.
Well, this is some new trend on TikTok with that music in the background, and you like rap to it. But he just took it. He took it too far, man. Because that is a dude who's trying to look like a woman.
He is a dude.
It is a dude.
I mean, the dude's a dude. Tell. Yeah, the dude is a dude, so I'm not quite sure who he's trying to fool here.
Day 200 of being a girl.
Day 200. Day 200. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Biden can perform the wedding.
Oh, that's true, in the privacy of their bedroom.
The privacy. It's true.
We pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Griswold.
Oh, my word. There you go, folks. I'm telling you, Biden is nuts. Just nuts. Earlier, by the way, Biden tried to spell out a website domain, cut number one.
If you get any questionable calls, please tell us by going to reportfraud.dotftc.gov.
Wow.
Please don't do that. I feel like you're going to get a virus. Just don't do it.
By the way, yesterday they announced, you know, Parler. What's the guy's name? Kanye, but they call him Ye. Kanye.
Ye.
The guy needs help.
He does need help.
So anyway, help. They announced they were selling, and so they were sending out an email to all of their VIP people. They're about 300, and I'm one of the VIPs.
Ooh.
And instead of the BCC, so your email address is hidden from view.
Of course.
They CC'd everybody's emails.
That's a lot
of emails.
So
now every prominent, and I'm not calling myself prominent, but every person on this list, okay, I'm prominent. Every person on this list is now doxxed.
That's unfortunate.
And Grace, I have been getting hundreds and hundreds of emails since yesterday. And Parler was like,
oops, our bad. We're so sorry. Oopsie.
So anyway, if you guys send me an email, don't be surprised if it's a while before I answer. I got to work through all this stuff. It's crazy. All right, folks, hour three of the big show coming up. Congresswoman Mary Miller, Megan Basham. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So glad to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, we now have this video up on our website, toddstearns.com. President Biden, just a few moments ago, we know he behaves really creepily around girls and young women, and we have this video of the president walking up to a line of people, and he rubs this woman's face with his one hand and then gives her a fake sort of like fist bump on the other cheek. And then he just continues to hold her hand for a solid 60 seconds while he's greeting other people in the line. So we have the whole video there for you to see for yourself. We're not making this up, but just very bizarre behavior from the president today. And then the remarks he gave, which are just, we don't understand them. I mean, it's just really it's garbled messages, and I just can't even begin to explain what he's talking about here. It's very odd. Anyway, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from the great state of Illinois, Congresswoman Mary Miller. Mary, hope you're doing well today.
Well, good afternoon. I'm doing great. I'm here on our family farm. And I do have to say, it makes me think of the song, the words of the song that say, "Oh spacious, oh beautiful, for spacious skies, God shed his grace on me." And we are truly a blessed nation, and our country is worth fighting for, even though we're in a serious situation right now. Americans are waking up, and I'm really excited to be in the position I'm in. For the opportunities for voting, but also to stir regular people to get off the sidelines and fight for the freedom and opportunities that America has provided for us in the past.
You know, Congresswoman, a lot going on out there, and I want to get your take on the midterm elections, but I know the Freedom Caucus, you guys have been urging your fellow Republicans to reject the defense authorization bill unless it repeals this vaccine mandate. How is that effort going?
Well, we'll see how it goes when it comes time to vote. But the Freedom Caucus is leading in so many ways, which we've been for the last 2 years. I think you'll see we've been calling for Mayorkas to be impeached over the invasion on the southern border. And then now Freedom Caucus is united in opposing the NDAA unless they repeal this vaccine mandate and the woke policies that are undermining our military. The Democrats are, putting all this woke stuff in our military. And it's really, I think, hindering recruitment. I believe the Army's recruitment goals are at like 40% or less. And bottom line, what people want our military to be is lethal and ready if we have the horrible situation where we have to defend ourselves.
The Heritage Foundation, and this is from the Wall Street Journal today, they have an opinion piece up. The Heritage Foundation actually rated the U.S. military as weak and at growing risk of not being able to meet the demands of defending America's vital national interest. And this is, it's down from marginal a year earlier. It's the first in the index's 9-year history. It looks as though there has been an effort, Congresswoman, by the Biden administration to somehow weaken the United States military. And I think that's a very alarming thing.
It is, but I think this is consistent with what we're seeing out of the Biden administration and the Democrats. All that has made America good, they are attacking and tearing apart. You know, some of them have come out and said they want to fundamentally transform our country, but in order to do that, they have to tear us down first. And I believe it's an intentional destruction of all that made our country good, and including our military. But I know we have had a son and grandson that we've discouraged from joining the military because of the woke policies in particular.
And I believe it is really hurting recruitment. You know, they're pushing all this transgender things, the Green Bad Deal climate projects, and then now this vaccine mandate. And there's almost a wholesale denial of exemption requests. And number one, the pandemic is over. And number two, this vaccine doesn't prevent transmission. We know that. And some people have religious reasons not to want to take the vaccine.
No doubt about that, Congresswoman. And by the way, Congresswoman Mary Miller on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Curious to know how the campaign is going. It looks like midterm elections, polling data seems to show significant gains by Republicans. What are you hearing from your constituents?
Well, for my race in particular, the Democrats are running some placeholder opponent against me. I'm going to win big because my district is very pro-Trump, pro-life, and pro-Second Amendment. In the state, though, we are excited to have an amazing candidate, Darren Bailey, running against J.B. Pritzker. J.B. Pritzker is continuing the destruction of our state. He had us locked down for unreasonable amounts of time. He's promoting the hypersexualizing of our children. And then just a terrible thing is the Safety Act that he has promoted and is going to go into law on January 1st. Unless Darren Bailey is elected, he will definitely repeal that law. But J.B. Pritzker is pushing lawlessness in Illinois. We will have to be releasing murderers and violent criminals onto the street because of the Safety Act.
All right, Congresswoman, we're going to leave it there. Before we let you go, tell me about this farm. Are you guys growing crops? Do you have livestock out there? What's life on the farm like?
Well, it's a beautiful life, and we're happy to be productive. American farmers feed. We're the breadbasket of the world. We feed so many people. I don't know what the number is now of how many people each farmer feeds. We grow corn, soybeans, wheat, and we raise Angus cattle. We also raise children. We've raised 7 children on the farm, and a lot of our grandchildren are involved too. But I do have to say agriculture is a challenging field to be in now, just like regular Americans are suffering because of inflation. Food, fuel, and fertilizer prices are skyrocketing. And we have supply chain issues. All of this is man-made. It's due to the Democrats' policies.
All right. Well, Congresswoman, we thank you and good luck on Election Day. Election's just 20 days now until the midterm elections, and we wish you the very best.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right. Congresswoman Mary Miller from Illinois, the 15th Congressional District, hanging out with us on the farm today. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was just sort of looking for grace. I don't know. I was just looking for a casual conversation about what's life like out on the farm. It's
so philosophical.
Just shooting the breeze.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's sunny out here, Tom. We got some cows out in the field.
Had to get up at 3 to milk the cows.
You know, breathing in that fresh country air.
Had some chickens and had to, you know, get the eggs and bacon and the cast iron skillet.
Drinking my cup of coffee.
Missed opportunity. That's but, what that was. A missed opportunity.
It's okay.
It is what it is. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. May I tell you about our friends over at Newsmax? They're doing some great work for America. Well, former President Trump just made a big post to his True Social, and he's praising Dick Morris, his new book, The Return. Trump says Dick Morris's bestseller is a great book, and he urges you to get it. The Return reveals Trump is running again. He will even win. It's even predicted recent events. The Return is prophetic. The Return alleges that big media, big tech, and the deep state have formed a secret alliance to stop Trump no matter what. But Dick Morris predicts they will fail. Trump calls The Return fantastic and Dick Morris a real pro. Newsmax says The Return is the book of the year. Already a number one Amazon bestseller. You got to get yourself a copy of Dick Morris, The Return, in bookstores everywhere. Or you can check out the free offer from Newsmax, and you're going to be able to save $28. Just call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX. Or go to the Return 911. That's the Return 911.com to get your copy today. All right, some new polling data out of Minnesota, where Republican Jim Schultz is now tied with Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. This is according to a Minnesota Post, a Min Post poll that was released on Monday. They found that Schultz and Ellison tied at 47% among Minnesota voters. So now the question is, what about the 5% of undecided voters there in Minnesota? Yet another blue state that could be going red in the midterm elections. This story from Fox News: Boston University researchers are claiming to have developed a more lethal COVID strain in a laboratory. What? Why would they do this? Why would they go out of their way to develop a more lethal strain of the China virus? But this is the information coming from Fox News. The variant is a combination of Omicron and the original virus in Wuhan. It has an 80% kill rate among the mice that were used and that were infected. When mice were only exposed to the Omicron, they experienced mild symptoms. The research was conducted by a team of scientists from Florida and Boston. You know what needs to happen? That needs to be shut down right now. And all those researchers need to be hauled in. Unbelievable, folks. I mean, how do you think the China virus started in the first place? I want to go back to this conversation that we had with Congresswoman Mary Miller from Illinois a few moments ago. I referenced a story from the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. They're very alarmed at the increasing weakness of the U.S. military. Now, we have a lot of military veterans and a lot of members of the military who listen to this program. And I'm curious to hear from you what your experiences have been like in the Biden military. Are you noticing these declines in readiness, especially in the Navy and in the Air Force? The Heritage Foundation released a study, and that's what the Wall Street Journal based their editorial board post on, the Heritage Foundation's 2023 Index of U.S. Military Strength. Heritage ranks the U.S. military as weak and at growing risk of not being able to meet the demands of defending America's vital national interest. The weak rating, which is down from marginal a year earlier, is the first in the index's 9-year history. The index measures the military's ability to prevail in two major regional conflicts at once. For example, a conflict in the Middle East and maybe a fight on the Korean Peninsula. Americans might wish that the world be a simpler, less threatening place, the report notes, but these commitments are part of U.S. national security strategy. Now, this is what's disturbing. Heritage says the U.S. military risks being unable to handle even a single major regional conflict. The Trump administration's one-time cash infusion has dried up. Pentagon budgets are not keeping up with inflation. And the branches are having to make trade-offs about whether to be modern, large, or ready to fight tonight. The decline is especially acute in the Navy and Air Force. Is that true, good listeners of this program? Are you guys hearing these kinds of reports? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. The Navy says, and has been saying for years, it needs to grow to at least 350 ships, plus more unmanned platforms. Yet the Navy has shown persistent inability to arrest and reverse the continued diminution of its fleet. By one analysis, it has underdelivered on shipbuilding plans by 10 ships a year on average over the past 5 years. From 2005 to 2020, the U.S. fleet grew from 296 ships from 291. China's, on the other hand, grew to 360 from 216. So the concern is that China may be outbuilding and outgrowing its military. And the Air Force is not doing well either. A pilot shortage continues to plague the service. The current generation of fighter pilots, those who have been actively flying for the past 7 years, has never experienced a healthy rate of operational flying. Well, why is that? Well, they're blaming a lost $59 billion in buying power due to flat budgets and inflation. The Army, by the way, is shrinking not as a choice about priorities, but because it cannot recruit enough soldiers, nearly 20,000 short in fiscal 2022. And they're surprised by this? We go out there and we tell young men, and let's just be honest here for a second, the military, by and large, is made up of young men. And what do? We've been telling our young men, the young men of America, from the time they're in preschool all the way till kingdom come, that there's a problem when young men act like young men, when boys behave like boys. So what do? They medicate them, or they convince the young boys that they may be, I don't know, young girls or something. And so then you have a generation of confused young kids who are uninterested, and then you have the scouts and the other young guys who grow up, and this is what they want to do, but they don't want to join some sort of a woke military where they have to go to class to learn that, you know what, they're the problem with the world because of the color of their skin or because of how much money they may or may not have in their bank account. I did a big investigative story many years ago when I worked at Fox News as a journalist. And someone from inside the military sent me a training manual, and it was, I don't know, 150 pages. And the 150 pages covered the issue of white privilege. And basically, the gist of this 150-page training manual from the military is that, you know, white people are the problem in the world, and that white people bear the responsibility, and white people need to apologize for their whiteness. So most young men are not going to want to join something like that. And that's why they're having a big problem getting people to wear the uniform of this country. We got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Turns out Raphael Warnock's church has filed three more eviction proceedings. This is terrible. Ebenezer Baptist Church, by the way, in Atlanta, they own an apartment building. And according to Breitbart, they filed three more eviction proceedings. By the way, and this was just a couple of days before Raphael Warnock claimed nobody had ever been evicted from the building. And thanks to the goodness and generosity of Herschel Walker, Walker is actually offering to pay the back rent so that people won't be evicted from the church-owned apartment building. What a mess that is. All right. Church leaders. Early on, we saw a lot of church leaders aligned with Dr. Anthony Fauci. And now there's a big investigation into why that is. Why is it and how is it that these church leaders aligned with Dr. Fauci to discredit experts opposed to the China virus mandates? Well, our friend Megan Basham, who is a culture reporter for Daily Wire, joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Megan, good to have you with us.
Always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, let's talk about this crazy story here. I mean, you've really been triggering a lot of these evangelical leaders of late.
Somehow that has turned into my beat. And sadly, it is because there is so much to report there that has gone unreported. So, yes, I have spent a lot of time on it. And just this week, this latest story popped up with an organization called BioLogos that was founded by National Institutes of Health director, former director, Francis Collins, a.k.a. Anthony Fauci's boss.
Uh-huh. And what exactly did he do? Because I understand he has a lot of connections with many evangelical leaders, some even within the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, early this year, I had released a report on all of the evangelical leaders, including people like Christianity Today editor-in-chief Russell Moore, Billy Graham Center director Ed Stetzer, Tim Keller, a lot of other big, Rick Warren, some other big names who had platformed Francis Collins to come on their podcast, to do interviews with him, to run stories advocating for him, basically saying he's a Christian brother, we need to listen to him. And you can go back and find that old report. But so that was the first story. And then this week what popped up was that this organization that Francis Collins founded put out a statement called the Love Your Neighbor, Get the Shot statement. And this went even further because it was essentially a pledge that a variety of Christian leaders, including people like N.T. Wright, very famous theologian, Christian author, Philip Yancey, that one breaks my heart, Christianity Today CEO Timothy Dalrymple, some seminary presidents, VeggieTales creator Phil Vischer, they all signed this document. And in it, they promised to actively promote accurate scientific information from trustworthy consensus sources. And they promised to help counter misinformation and conspiracy theories from non-consensus sources. And when you wonder, okay, what do they mean by consensus sources? Well, they told you in the document. They said, when Dr. Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease expert, tells us what scientists have learned, he should be listened to. So by that, they meant that medical dissidents, like some really informed and expert medical opinions, like the authors of the Great Barrington Declaration, or people who felt like lockdown policies weren't a good idea, who had some questions about the vaccine, who argued against mask mandates, they were saying those medical experts should not be listened to because they are not part of the consensus. So to me, that was pretty remarkable that they not only said, let's have some interviews, let's discuss this topic, but they said, we pledge because of our faith in Jesus Christ to take a position on this publicly, and we pledge to suppress the non-consensus scientific opinion.
And it's, you know, some of the things they pledged to do, get vaccinated, which led to many, many people dying. And I suspect that's going to be the ugly story when historians look back on this time in world history. They told them to wear masks because Jesus would wear a mask or something. I don't know. It's very odd.
Yeah, and so, you know, and the upshot of it to me was all of this was under this umbrella of love your neighbor. And what we're watching is that we're seeing some distinctly not Christian people pick up on this abuse of love your neighbor. Of course, we saw a couple of weeks ago, California Governor Gavin Newsom put up billboards arguing that loving your neighbor means supporting abortion. So that's how much this term has been made elastic. We have now seen the National Association of Evangelicals, a very large and influential evangelical group home to some 45,000 churches. They have argued that loving your neighbor means lobbying your legislators for new regulations against fossil fuels. And I'm sure that's what Jesus meant, right, when he said that in the New Testament. So all of this is sort of this movement to abuse the Christian faith, Christian principles, in service to progressive principles. So it's become pretty disturbing. And in this one, again, the thing that just really struck me about it was that they were signing a pledge. And I think that it's one thing to have the debate. It's another thing to say you're only a Christian if you support liberal policies.
You see, that's what gets me. And Megan, I'm wondering big picture here. When you look at the church's response to the China virus, when you look at the response to CRT, and now you've got even some mega pastors within the Southern Baptist Convention urging pronoun hospitality, it's almost like we're seeing the dismantling or the unraveling of the American church.
Well, I think what we're seeing is some unmasking of our own. And on the flip side, I kind of want to encourage people. I have seen some positive movement in the last few months. That particular pastor, very big pastor, former president of the SBC, who advocated for pronoun hospitality, he got enough pushback, and there's been enough published public outcry that after 2 years, he has reversed. And he just recently came out and said, you know, I was wrong to say that. That's not the right position. We shouldn't lie and say that men are women and women are men.
Wow.
So I call that a win. And I've seen a few moments like that I'm starting to go, you know what? I think that they're starting to hear us and they're starting to understand that this is not going to be accepted. And, look, it makes it a little hard to separate the sheep from the wolves, but I am glad that they are at least getting the message that, this kind of, let's say, twisting of scripture is not going to be acceptable to anyone anymore.
And Megan, what's been shocking is to see the level of attacks directed at you, and you've been exposing a lot of I would call it moral corruption within the church community. And man, are you doing okay? Because that's an ugly thing what they've been doing to you.
I'm doing good. You know, it's funny. I stay in the Word, and I try to stay really connected to my local church, and that really helps. And because, look, I have moments where I go, okay, Lord, if I'm wrong, show me. And that is not what's happening. Instead, I go, nope, I just feel more confirmed that this stuff needs to be countered. To me, it feels very much like the marketplace and the temple is where we're at. I see so many people selling progressive ideas under the guise of biblical principle in the temple, and it's time for some tables to be turned over in that sense. So it doesn't bother me even in the slightest. And like I said, I'm starting to see some positive movement, so I feel really good about that, and that just encourages me.
Well, I am glad that you are encouraged. Megan, great writing, and folks, you can go to the Daily Wire and read all of Megan's work, How Church Leaders Align with Fauci to Discredit Experts Opposed to COVID Mandates. Again, we also have a link to that on our live show blog. Megan, always good hearing from you. Don't be a stranger.
Absolutely. Good to be here. Thanks, Todd.
All right. There you go. She is a fierce fighter, I'll tell you that much. And yeah, a lot of these evangelical leaders, they hate her guts. And the reason why, it's very simple. She just writes the truth. And when you expose truth, when you expose corruption, well, they're going to come after you. And they've certainly done that in her case. And I will say this, I'm working on the new book. And it should be out either, I think, early next year or late next year in 2023. And one of the most disturbing things that happened in all of the China virus pandemic was this effort to shut down American churches. But it wasn't the government's decision to do that. It was the religious community and their willingness to surrender their Bibles and to surrender the hymn books and shut down and padlock the church doors so that people could feel safe. I got a big problem with that. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I have to tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And Patriot Mobile has some wonderful deals just for you. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. If you make the switch, you're going to be helping Patriot Mobile support conservative causes all over America. By the way, they have plans to fit any budget, no matter how big or how small. And if you're a veteran or if you're a first responder, they're going to give you an additional discount. It's super simple. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. And be sure to use that promo code, Todd.
Welcome to America, the land of junk sleep, where it's bedtime, but you're double booked. Here, there's always one more deadline to meet, episode to watch, or meme to share. The world may not want you to sleep, but we do. Only the sleep experts at Mattress Firm can help you find the right bed at the right price. Unjunk your sleep. In-store or online at mattressfirm.com today.
All right, you heard Governor Mike Huckabee earlier in the program talking about Carrie Lake, who's running for governor of Arizona. And Carrie Lake is one of these no-nonsense types. It'll be interesting to see how she governs once she's elected. But she was asked a question, and this is a little bit of a lengthy piece of audio, but I want you to hear this and hear her response. Someone asked her a question about our culture and what the culture has done to men specifically. Cut number 7.
As someone like yourself, I just feel like what you bring spiritually to this office could do a lot for that. What would you do to help inspire young men to be dads again?
I'm a mom to a boy. I got a baby. I always say I'm a mama bear with a little baby cub who's a boy and a baby cub who's a girl. So I'm worried about our young men. Culture has really done our men wrong. And I'm sure they're going to write about this, those cameras. Men are not equal to women. We're complementary. God made us that way. So, but what we've been telling our boys for a long time now is, and you talked a little bit about it, that's maybe what you were hearing in the black community, but we're also telling our boys being masculine is toxic, it's a bad thing, which is basically telling our boys being a man is a bad thing. We need strong men. We need strong men for the future and the survival of our country, for the future and survival of our family. I'm a big believer in fathers are the most important parent. I really believe that. I'm a mom. I'm from a family of 9. And I think for the first 4 years, that mom is so important when the nurturing part. But after age 4, a dad is so critical in a child's life. I was primarily raised by my dad. My parents were divorced when I was 7 years old. And I lived with my dad. And, you know, all these girls. We had 8 girls and 1 boy, and he was a very strong figure for us. And when you have a strong father, then you're a strong woman. Because he defines you, right? Just as our Heavenly Father defines us, your father defines you. And if you don't have that father in the home, you're going to look for somebody else to define you and figure out who you are. It's so important. And I look back at history and manufacturing and factories shut down across this country. It started the decimation of the family. Fathers went from having a good job to not having a job. Despair set in. Depression set in. Families broke up. We can trace it all back to that time. And we saw inner cities crumbling. And I think that's when things went south, and we need to build that back up. I want to see men be men. I want to give our boys a permission to be strong men. There's no such thing as toxic masculinity. That's a bunch of BS. And I want to encourage fathers to be in the home. They're so important. And maybe it's just one person's voice, and I guess I have a loud mouth, talking about how important dads are. But we do need to make that a mission, because when we don't have fathers in the home, it's bad for not just mom and kids. It's bad for the spirit of that man as well. And then he's lost. I believe in mothers and fathers and families, and we want Arizona to be a great place for families. And we're going to work hard to do that.
You know, I'm so glad to hear her say that, because ultimately that's really sort of the problem with America, right? The family unit has just been decimated. There are very few homes where there's a mom and a dad now. You have a lot of broken homes. And that's not to say that, you know, I mean, if you're a single parent, you're going to do the best you can do. But it would be a heck of a lot easier if you had a mommy and a daddy, right? That's the way the good Lord intended. Ronald Reagan, many years ago, said in a speech, and it's one of these great speeches, and there were so many great speeches from Ronald Reagan. This one does not get a lot of attention. But he once said that American exceptionalism, American greatness, starts at the dinner table. And it's the idea of spending time with your family, spending time with your kids, asking your kids questions, not just perfunctory, oh, how's it going today? How was school today? But really, really talking to your kids, educating your kids. I wrote in one of my books, I think it was Godless America, that it really should be the responsibility of the parent to teach their kids about American history, to teach their kids about the freedoms that they enjoy under the United States Constitution. That's something that, sadly, many children are not learning in public school. And why is that? Why is it that kids are not teaching? Why is it that kids are not learning and that schools are not teaching about the Constitution? Why are they not teaching about the Bill of Rights? Well, I suspect the answer is pretty simple. A lot of people like to get philosophical on this stuff, and I think there's always a simple answer to everything. And I think the answer to that question is that they don't want the kids to know what their rights are. Because if the kids don't know what their rights are, they'll never know when those rights are being violated. And we're really seeing the dumbing down of society, the dumbing down of the American public. And this has been going on for quite some time now, well over a decade that this has been going on. And I appreciate Carrie Lake speaking out on that issue about the family and about why it's okay for little boys to be rough and tumble little boys, why it's okay for men to be men who hold doors open for women, who walk into burning buildings and pull people out and save their lives. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. So we'll talk more about this. We have plenty of time on the radio, 3 hours. We're going to be able to talk about stuff like that. Folks, it's getting close, and I hope that you're encouraging people to get out there, to go and vote, engage in the political process, volunteer to serve at the polling stations, be poll watchers. There's a lot of work to be done, America. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.